Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
WWE Night of Champions is in the books. We got a brand new World Heavyweight Champion, a new Raw Women's Champion, and a night of incredible matches, plus a shocking ending. Hey there, everyone. I'm Denise Salcedo, and you're listening to Busted Open Radio. Let's get into what went down on WWE Night of Champions. Now, first and foremost, I want to kick things off by saying that this night was definitely a win for WWE. I don't think that they had any bad matches at all. In fact, I thought that they kind of continued to build as the night went on and even started off very nicely. But on top of that, not only did we have a shocking change of hands for the Raw Women's Championship, but what we had was an incredible ending with the Bloodline. And I cannot wait to talk about all of that and everything that went down. But let's go ahead and get things in a nice chronological format, because I think that's the best way to go about it. So let's get to it. We are going to kick things off with Seth Rollins defeating AJ Styles to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Now, with this one, first of all, the second that this was the opening match, I thought, okay, that's interesting, because this one could have easily been the main event, but it wasn't. But I kind of like that, though, because I always love when Seth Rollins opens up any match. I think that he always does a really good job of that, but I think that it kind of set the tone for the night that what we saw. I thought that the pacing of everything worked out really well. So I didn't have a problem with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles opening up the show. So what we got in this match, this was probably, I'm going to say, my second favorite match of the night. It was almost going to be my first favorite, but I think the main event just knocked it out of the park. And that's good, right? The main event should definitely be better. Anyways, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. Seth Rollins goes out there with this big, giant, poofy cheetah sleeves. And I love it because Seth is always bringing these very, very crazy fashion wardrobe. You never know what he's going to wear, what he's going to bring out there. And I thought it was funny that he's in Hollywood for like 2 minutes and he comes back and he even has like the golden fingernails and all of that. I love it, though. I love Seth going out there and bringing these crazy looks to the ring. I think it kind of amplifies the character itself. But anyways, so he and AJ, the reason why I really liked this match was that both guys felt evenly matched. There were different points throughout this match where I thought, you know what, 1 second one guy has the advantage, and then the next second it quickly ends because the other guy's got the advantage. So you would see both guys have the upper hand in different points of this match. Of course, you see AJ Styles hit his combo of strikes, and that's always really fun to see AJ do. But some of the highlights of this match was there was a moment where Seth Rollins did 2 suplexes, one off the top rope, didn't let go, and then hit AJ with another one. I thought that was a really cool portion of this match. Then what I really liked about it was there was a moment where Seth Rollins did this suicide dive to the outside, and he kind of lands awkwardly on his leg. So that ended up playing into the entire match. So the entire match, you see AJ Styles basically go after that leg and attack it and attack it and attack it. And I really liked that because it was something that kind of hindered Seth Rollins a little bit. So you went in there thinking, there was probably a lot of people that went into this match thinking that Seth Rollins was going to win, and maybe not seeing AJ Styles as having much of a chance. But I think them kind of playing off of Seth Rollins being hurt during this match kind of added to a little bit of the doubt of, hey, maybe, maybe not. Maybe we might actually see AJ Styles get the victory here. But what we ended up getting was really good counters in this match. Like, there was moments where Seth countered the Styles Clash multiple times, and that was really fun. Then there was a moment where AJ Styles countered the Pedigree, and then he countered the Pedigree from Seth, and then AJ Styles ended up hitting his own Pedigree. So that was kind of a good moment during this match. I thought that was pretty exciting. But one of my other favorite parts included AJ Styles going for a phenomenal forearm and Seth Rollins literally just meeting him with a super kick. And then afterwards, we see Seth try and hit the stomp, but he can't because he has that bad knee that he's been playing off of during this match, and AJ Styles has been attacking on that knee, so he's not able to get the stomp. Finally, Seth Rollins is able to hit the Pedigree at his own demise, though, because that also hurts his own knee, but then eventually he kind of perseveres through the pain, and he ends up hitting the stomp, and he gets the win, and Seth Rollins is now the brand new World Heavyweight Champion. After this, Triple H comes out, hands him the belt. There's fireworks and all of this. And I can tell you right now that I am ready for the Seth Rollins era of him being World Heavyweight Champion. Later in the night, they also did this promo where he is being interviewed by Byron Saxton. And the first thing he says, and really the main gist of the promo, was, I'm going to be at Raw every single week with this title. And I think that's definitely something that the fans wanted to hear. But man, I'm so excited about Seth Rollins being champ. I thought they really delivered so much in this match. And I think overall, top to bottom, with the way that this whole entire tournament went for the World Heavyweight Championship, I thought it was very, very strong. So I was a big fan of this, big fan of the story of the match, the ending of the match, and everything in between. So this one definitely took two thumbs up. Really excited about that. Now, let's move on to the next match of the night, and this was Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch. Now, I'm going to be completely real here with everybody. When I say that, this feud between Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch has kind of been like hit and miss with me. There's been times where I'm like, I'm not really into it. Then there's other times where I'm like, you know what? This is pretty good. I started getting into this more so when Trish Stratus went out there and basically buried Becky Lynch and made fun of her daughter, or tried to bury Becky Lynch, rather. But she basically insulted Becky Lynch's daughter and said that she couldn't do her colors and that she was dumb and this and that. And so that's when I thought that Trish Stratus really started taking it up a notch with the heel work. So then afterwards, we end up getting this promo from Becky Lynch, I think the following week afterwards, and Becky goes out there. She cuts a marvelous promo, basically saying that Trish gave her something to be upset about, gave her a target, gave her somebody to be upset about. Then, of course, the contract signing that we got heading into the show, where Becky Lynch completely obliterated Trish Stratus, because she tells Trish Stratus, like, the things that you did would give me nightmares. And she kind of alludes to the time when Trish Stratus was barking like a dog, and Towser reminds her about that and even does the woof woof thing at Trish Stratus. And that was brutal, man. I thought, oh my God, how's Trish Stratus gonna bounce back from that? And so we get this match between Trish and Becky, and I, again, really did not know what to expect from this, because I thought this could have been either decent or bad, right? This ended up being way better than anything that I had pictured. And there was a lot of things that they did here that I thought just really hit nicely. And the overall thing that I want to mention is that after this match, I now care about this feud between Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch a whole lot more. So Trish and Becky go out there. They got their full jumpsuits. As you guys know, the rules are a little different in Saudi. But they looked great, man. They looked really great out there with their jumpsuits. Becky Lynch had the Kill Bill vibes, by the way, with the all yellow look and the black stripes on the side. So I really like that. But let's talk about what actually went down in this match and why it was really good. So first of all, let's focus with the start of this match. Becky Lynch goes right in and she just slaps Trish Stratus and she just starts going off on her. And that's the way that I like that this started, because this feud between Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus got very personal. I mean, come on, she was talking smack about her daughter. So it got very personal. And so if someone's going out there talking smack about your kid, you're going to make sure you go at it full throttle, right? Becky Lynch just like slapping Trish Stratus was very well deserved for that moment. But the thing that I absolutely loved most about this was that Trish Stratus, I thought, did phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal, heel work throughout this entire match. Not only was she mocking Becky Lynch, mocking the referee, she was showboating with the crowd. She was at one point stretching the mouth of Becky Lynch. I kid you not. She had like two fingers pulling them cheek sideways. Oh my God, it was so savage of her to do that, and I loved that spot. I thought that was a really small little thing that Trish did that really got over so much with me. So Trish Stratus just like stretching her mouth out was brutal. They slug back and forth, and the ending, we need to talk about the ending, because this was phenomenal. So there's a moment where Trish is on the outside and she kind of she almost looks like she's going to cheat by getting some sort of weapon or something, because you see her kind of looking under the ring and you're like, what is she doing? What's going to go on here? And then Becky Lynch kind of takes her away from that. But then out of nowhere, so the referee gets distracted, not paying attention. He's being distracted by Trish Stratus. Zoe Stark comes out. Zoe Stark, who just got called up to the main roster, she comes out, nails Becky Lynch. And so Trish Stratus is able to basically use that to her advantage and get the win from Becky Lynch. She defeats Becky Lynch with the help of Zoe Stark. And this was something that I thought was somewhat unexpected for sure, because Zoe Stark, for the most part, like she just came into the main roster. She was drafted as this last draft from NXT. Now on NXT, she has shown that she is a phenomenal female wrestler, right? She has shown that she's great in ring, but I had no idea that things would be going even this fast for her on the main roster, and I really like how fast she has been rising. She's been getting wins on the main roster. She just defeated, who was it? I think it was Candice LeRae. It might have been Candice LeRae on last week's Raw. Sorry, blanking there for a second. But anyways, so Zoe Stark getting those victories, but for her to get this spot in this match against Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch, it told us multiple things. One, that they definitely believe in Zoe Stark because of how quickly they have her in these important spots. And two, what is this going to look like with Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark? She is now going to be getting the rub from Trish, and I like this. I kind of want Zoe to kind of be like Trish's muscle, you know, her muscle or something. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm excited to see the pairing. Becky got screwed, and this is going to continue to move forward, and I hope that this goes all the way to SummerSlam based on what they're doing thus far. I am so much more interested in this story than I ever was. So I thought this was a big win as well for both ladies.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry, be warranted. See ahs.com/contract for coverage details, including limit amount, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download Earned In today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earned In app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. Earned In is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bill, and unexpected overage. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. It's the best thing when I'm looking out for my nutrition and my dietary needs. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Let's move into the third match here. And our third match is Gunther versus Mustafa Ali for the Intercontinental title. Now, this was something that I feel like for the most part, everyone knew, like, hey, you know, Gunther's definitely going to win. I don't think very many people actually believed that Mustafa Ali actually legitimately had a chance against Gunther. With that being said, the way that they formatted this match, they kind of made you just for a second believe that Mustafa Ali actually had a chance. They gave him a couple of hope spots throughout this, and this ended up being far better than anything I was expecting, because I thought this was going to be like a quick squash, like Gunther's going to go in, chop the heck out of Mustafa Ali, and call it a day, right? That's exactly what I thought, but this was so much fun. So this starts off with Mustafa Ali trying to bring down Gunther. He's not able to, and Gunther literally just like slams him down. Then he chops him twice, so he gets a taste of those Gunther chops. And then Gunther gets him in with a Boston Crab, and it's literally like nobody's business. He's just sitting there practically on Mustafa Ali, and it's pretty great, actually. And afterwards, there's a moment where Mustafa Ali's about to like literally leap over the ropes, and as he's kind of starting to get his leverage and he's starting to kind of jump up, Gunther comes at him and just gets him with a boot straight to the face, man. Straight to the face, and knocks the guy's lights out. And he ends up on the mat. So that was kind of crazy. But anyways, we press on. It continues on from here. There's a moment where you start to believe that Ali is actually going to win, because Ali hits Gunther with a neck breaker, a power bomb. Yes, a power bomb on giant Gunther. Power bomb. Then a 450 splash. He goes for the pin, and Gunther kicks out. So for that split second, I think a couple of people out there might have actually thought that Ali had a chance. And of course, the crowd was definitely behind him, as you could imagine. So then afterwards, there's another moment where Gunther hits Ali with a clothesline. Ali kicks out. That also got the crowd very happy. And then there's a moment where Ali super kicks Gunther, and it hits a DDT on him. And he does all that he can. But at the end of the day, Gunther hits that drop kick. He lands a powerbomb and gets the win. But all of this is here to say that this was a great match, an entertaining match that I think was very fun and just gave the crowd something a little bit more than just a quick squash, you know? I don't think people are going to complain about seeing Gunther just go out there and chop people, but they did give us a little bit more than that. So I thought this was fun, and I'm pretty sure this was a fun night. From Mustafa Ali, minus having to take those brutal chops from Gunther. All right, let's move on from this. This was a pretty surprising match that we got here. Not surprising because we knew it was going to happen, but a surprising ending, rather. So Asuka challenged Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. Yes, that is right. Two SmackDown talents out there fighting for the Raw Women's Championship. All right, so this match here, technically speaking, this was a good match. The body of the match was very great. We saw Asuka be dominant a whole lot of it. This was great. Like, again, body of the match, phenomenal. But I want to talk about the finish because that's the important part here. So there's a point where Asuka tries to mist Bianca, but Bianca avoids it. She's two steps ahead. She's like, nope, I'm out. You're not going to miss me. But then there is a moment where Asuka puts mist into her own hand. So then Bianca lifts her up. She's going for the kiss of death, the KOD. And Asuka ends up putting her hands like into Bianca's face, putting that mist like all over her eyes and stuff. And then Asuka kicks her. She nails those brutal strikes that Asuka does and pins Bianca Belair, 1, 2, 3, ending Bianca's run as Raw Women's Champion. Let me tell you, I was in shock here. I was legitimately in shock. Now, there's some pros and cons to this. So let's get to the pros and cons here. So I guess the cons, I think there's more pros definitely than cons. I would say the only cons for me personally was that heading into this match, Asuka and Bianca, I didn't think that the story leading into it was that good. I legitimately did not think that the story really had me going, oh my God, I can't wait to see this match. Like, I didn't feel that way at all. I didn't feel like this was a match I legitimately cared about because I didn't really care about the feud. I didn't really care about the story. I knew the match was going to be good and I respected it for what it was going to be. But the story itself, I did not think was that great, the lead up to it. So I'm thinking like, damn, if someone was gonna beat Bianca, I would have really liked for the story to be that much better because Bianca Belair's reign deserved that. I think Bianca Belair's reign deserved a hot story leading into her losing the championship belt. However, that's pretty much the only con that I saw here. Really, that was it. Everything else is pros. And here are the pros. First of all, the ending was very creative. I think the ending was a good way to incorporate the mist in a different fashion, in a different manner than what we've seen before. And based on what we saw at Backlash between Bianca Belair and Io Sky, it was clear that people wanted to see the title change hands. People wanted to see Io Sky win. That reaction that she was getting was absolutely massive at Backlash in Puerto Rico. So that basically told people, that should have told a lot of people that, you know what, they got to do something different with Bianca. They got to shake things up with Bianca because the people, she's a babyface, and the people were over seeing Bianca Belair as champion. Now, personally, the reason I think they were over it is not because she's bad, because she's not bad. She's a phenomenal wrestler. In-ring-wise, she has the best matches all the damn time. In fact, she's literally my favorite person to watch wrestle. But the reason I think people were kind of bored with Bianca is I think a lot of the everything else, all the in-between stuff, the promo stuff, I don't really think that they gave her much to really get the crowd, to win the crowd over. And we all know it's harder to be a babyface than it is to get it to be a heel. And so I don't think that they gave Bianca Belair the best material to really just continue staying over with the fans. Her material that got her over was literally her in-ring work. So a lot of people were ready for a new champion. One of the things that I saw on Twitter that a lot of people were tweeting, and when I asked people what they thought about this match, was a lot of people were saying, like, thank God, we're so excited to see a brand new champion and this and that. And so that tells me that a lot of people were ready to see a brand new champion. So what is Bianca Belair going to look like without a championship belt? It's been such a long time since we've seen her without a championship belt. It's going to be kind of weird. Now, my hopes for Asuka as Raw Women's Champ is that I really hope that they give her a respectable run as champion. I don't want them to do what they did with her last time, where you nearly forgot that she was there, where you nearly forgot that she was even a champion. I hope that they don't do that with Asuka. This is a chance to give people the run they have been wanting to see with Asuka as a champion. So I really hope that this is the one that we've been waiting for. And I think that Asuka Bianca is going to be a fun run whenever they decide to do the rematch again, because this was already their second meeting. But anyways, excited to see what they do with Asuka. Excited to see the matches that can be had, because Asuka is incredible in the ring. And one of my favorite things is her strikes. Her strikes, to me, they are bread and butter. Love them. All right, moving on to our next match. This one's really quick, honestly. So the third women's match of the night, and this was Natalia challenging Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I don't think anyone here actually thought that Rhea Ripley was going to lose the title, and she did not. This was a very quick match. Natty basically gets distracted by Dominic Mysterio, and, well, purposely, because Dominic's all up on her business trying to distract her, and it works. So Rhea's able to get the upper hand from the very beginning, and she never loses it at all. She throws her around a couple of times, like onto the steel steps, gets her back into the ring, hits the riptide, and it's done. This was a very, very fast match in and out. Nothing else much to add there. Of course, Rhea was not going to lose. There's just more there for Rhea. But now let's go ahead and get into Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar in their second meeting following their last match at Backlash. So the storyline going into this is part of the storyline going into this is that Cody's arm is broken. So they confirm, hey, Cody's arm is broken. On Raw, we saw his whole conversation with Triple H, where Triple H basically told him, like, you can't do this match. And then in the end, it's decided that, okay, fine, he's going to go out there and he's going to wrestle, right? And so now there's a lot of people wondering, like, what is Triple H's part in all of this? What's going to happen here, right? Well, anyways, let's get into the Cody Brock match. This one here, I mean, you get Suplex City, of course. Brock goes in there, suplexes Cody multiple times. But the thing about this time was every time Cody landed, he would land on that injured arm. There was a moment where Cody tried to defeat Brock the same way that he did at Backlash, but he was unable to. There was a moment where Cody hits the crossroads, Lesnar kicks out, Lesnar hits that F5, and so we get this really high point in the match where we're just seeing both guys hit their moves, hit their spots, and nobody is losing here. It isn't until Brock Lesnar gets Cody into the Kimura Lock, and it is really that, because again, it's on the injured arm. And so he's kind of there for a good chunk of time. And finally, Cody ends up passing out. He never taps out. He passes out, and that is it. That's the end of this match here. So thoughts on this one here is I liked this match more than their last match. I liked it more than the Backlash match. I don't know how I felt about the ending. I think that It took a little bit too long, and I'm a little bit torn on the ending. I did think it took a little bit too long to basically have him in the Kimura for such a long time, and for him not. I know. I do like, though, that he didn't tap, and the only reason I like that he didn't tap was because you're telling us, like, Cody's a fighter, Cody's not going to give up, Cody went into this with a broken arm, so he's clearly not going to be taking the easy way out, right? Like, that's not who Cody is. Cody's going to fight and basically give it all until he can't anymore. So that was very, very clear. So I think given that this is their second meeting, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a bad ending, in my opinion. I thought it was fine. But I don't know what it is. I still think that there's a little bit of magic that's missing in this Cody Brock match. And I kind of felt the same way in the first match, because I wasn't too crazy about their first match at Backlash. And even this match, I thought it was better, but I have seen better from Cody Rhodes with other competitors. And I've also seen better from Brock Lesnar with other competitors. So I'm really hoping that their third match, if it, you know, I'm assuming at SummerSlam, I really hope that that one's the one where I see the magic between Cody and Brock in ring, because I love all of the beatdowns that Brock has done to Cody on Raw. All of that's been very exciting. I always laugh when they show the replay of Brock going, I want to fight. I want to fight. That's always really great there. But I would like to see, hopefully the third time, that I want to be blown away is what I'm saying. I have not been blown away by Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar just yet. I think that there's just so much more that can be told there. But speaking of being blown away, this next match, the main event, blew me away completely. It was, of course, Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns challenging Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for those tag team titles, undisputed tag team titles, right? So this was, there's so much in here, so I'm going to try to get as much in as possible. But crowds going nuts for Sammy. Obviously, getting to see Sami Zayn in Saudi Arabia was huge there in that moment. And Sammy even makes sure to speak in the language, and he does, you know, he has a really nice moment with the crowd during that. The crowd is really behind Sami Zayn throughout this entire match. This match was so much fun. I'm going to kind of fast forward to a little bit of like heading into the ending. So we got a bunch of, you know, near falls and whatnot, but this match really kicked in to this next level when there was a moment where Kevin Owens hits a stunner and on Roman, but Roman quickly follows that up with a spear to Kevin Owens. I mean, it is bang, bang fast, okay? Like, super fast. And then afterwards, we see a really cool confrontation between Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa. They're going at it, you know, lefts and rights. That's really fun as well. There is also a moment where Solo super kicks Sami Zayn, goes for a Samoan spike, but Sami ends up hitting him with the exploder. That was really cool too. Then we have a ref spot. And I'm thinking, oh no, not a ref spot. We always got these dang refs spots, right? But this one was actually not bad. I actually really liked this one, which is rare. It's not every day that I say I like a ref spot. So we get a ref spot. Roman accidentally spears the ref. And this one actually looks smooth too. Some of these ref spots, they be looking so lame. But this one was not. This one actually looks pretty cool. It looked seamless, like seamless. That was the key. It was seamless. So then Roman Superman punches Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens spears, then comes right on in, spears Roman, and lands several punches. Afterwards, we see the Usos. The Usos run in and attack Kevin Owens. The referee is still out. They bury Kevin Owens on the outside underneath the commentary table. We then see back in the ring, the Usos super kick Sami Zayn. Jay gets him with a super kick. Jimmy gets him with a super kick. And then they're both going for it, but instead they mess up and they accidentally super kick Solo Sikoa, who was right behind Sami Zayn. And you're thinking, oh, shoot, this is it. This is it right here. So they get Solo Sikoa. And Roman Reigns looks up and he sees all of this go down. And Roman is hella pissed, man. He's freaking pissed. He gets in there and he's going off on them. He shoves Jimmy. He shoves Jay. And he's like, there's no more day one. So Jimmy super kicks Roman out of nowhere. Jimmy super kicks Roman. And the pop for this was absolutely massive, man, guys. The pop for this was like, holy, he actually did it. Jimmy finally snapped. We had been seeing that Jimmy was, kind of irritated and done with Roman Reigns already. He was no longer interested in being under the ruling of Roman Reigns. So then afterwards, Jimmy and Jay have their own confrontation, sort of, because Jay is really surprised. He's just like, I can't believe what you did. I can't believe that you did this. Why did you do this? And Jimmy's like, you're my brother. I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago. And I'm your brother, not him. So Jimmy is kind of trying to persuade Jay to be on his side, to see why he did what he did. And Jay never actually super kicked Roman. He didn't do any of that. So the one that actually rebelled against Roman was Jimmy Uso. So then finally, Jimmy and Jay go away. They walk out, right? All the other guys are down. They're all down. And you're thinking, man, they're all down. What's going to happen here? So finally, we get back into the ring. Kevin Owens stuns Solo Sikoa. Well, Roman Reigns is down already from the super kicks, the two super kicks from Jimmy Uso. So he's down and out. So all you got left is Solo Sikoa. And Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn get in there. Kevin Owens stuns Solo Sikoa, hits him with that stunner, and then a haluva kick from Sami Zayn. And just like that, you get a 1-2-3 count. But wait, the referee's not there. And then the referee runs in, and then there it is. 1-2-3. Down and out. Solo Sikoa loses. Roman loses. Sami and KO retain their championship belts. And that is the downfall of the bloodline. Roman is going to be freaking livid when we see whatever happens on SmackDown, which, oh my God, I forgot to say, at SmackDown, we're going to be supposed to be having the 1,000 celebration. So this is no longer going to be a celebration, clearly, because, he's going to be angry. All I got to say about this is that the match was phenomenal. It was so much fun. Everything that they did. But the drama was the most entertaining thing of it all. It really took things to another level. And I have to tell you, I was just so pleased with the ending of Night of Champions that it made me think, my God, I actually liked this ending so much more than what was done at WrestleMania. Two polar opposite reactions. This was so much fun. I thought that they did a really great job of just fooling us. Fooling us. When the Usos went in there and super kicked Sami Zayn, I really thought that was it. That freaking Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns were going to win. I really thought we were going to see four belts Roman. I thought it was over there. And then they swerved us with that third kick landing on Solo Sikoa. I couldn't believe it. That was my first reaction. And then just seeing Jimmy super kick Roman Reigns, and this was a moment that we had all been wondering when and where it was going to happen and how it was going to happen, I thought it was just done so great. And just when you're already reacting to that first super kick, then he comes at him with another one, it was like, nah, I ain't regretting this. I'm going to do this one more time. So, big fan of everything that they did here, and I'm excited to see what the follow-up is. Like, I'm excited to tune in to SmackDown to find out what is going to go down with the bloodline. That was a very exciting ending. I think these are the kind of endings that we look for in these shows and whatnot. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was my WWE Night of Champions quick review here on Busted Open. I really hope you guys appreciated it and liked it. Please let me know what you guys think of of my thoughts, what you guys thought of Night of Champions. You guys are more than welcome to hit me up on Twitter at @_DeniseSalcedo. I would love to hear your thoughts. And then, of course, tweet us at Busted Open Radio. We want to get your thoughts on all of that and more. Also, do not miss out. Myself and Mark Henry, we are live every Saturday on the weekend edition of Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM. Until next time, thank you guys so much.
Busted Open is part of the Sirius XM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.